This is Natalie Gochner, one of the hosts of Both Sides of the Aisle, and I represent the common sense middle. It's the holiday season and a time for reflection. So today we're going to revisit some of the best political gripes from the past year. You heard that right. It's the Gripe Show. But first, this news. This is Natalie Gochner, and 2015 is almost behind us. Jim and Dan are on holiday. As you know, on this show, our host, Senator Jim DeBacchus on the left, and Representative Dan McKay, and Speaker of the House Greg Hughes on the right, regularly voice their weekly gripes at the end of each show. Today, in lieu of a regular show, we're bringing you the best gripes from 2015. As we take you down memory lane, our producer, Ross Chambliss, will also help out by telling us when each gripe aired on the program. So sit back, grab a mug of warm eggnog, and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Natalie. Our first gripe comes from Speaker of the House Greg Hughes in Episode 69, recorded in February at the State Capitol.
My gripe is with the Minority Leader Brian King's bill, HB 60. It's a bill that seeks to put caps on campaign contributions. It's very intuitive. It sounds great. Here's the problem in politics. You have what we call the disclosed money that's out in broad daylight, that money that you contribute that's all accounted for, disclosed. And then you have what we call dark money, money that comes in. The NRA. The NRA can do this. They can funnel tons and tons of money. You don't know who the contributors are, and there's certainly not any caps to dark money. If we are serious about cleaning up politics, you need to start staring at that dark money and the funneling of money that comes into it, if impact the outcomes of campaigns and elections in the dark money side. For Representative Brian King's bill, which, by the way, died like 10-0 in the first week of the session. Then he did some Jedi mind trick. I don't know what happened, but they voted it out this week with
coming
these high
way.
Caps.
Coming
and
your
and
way.
The caps are huge. It will have no impact on it other than to put some glass ceiling on the transparent side of campaigns and elections. Meanwhile, nothing is being done to address
point.
The dark money. It frustrates the daylights out of me.
That's a fair point. My gripe deals with, so I'm not an elected official. I don't come here every day. But when I am up here, I'm seeing a lot of people with colds. A lot of people are sick. And there's all this handshaking that goes on. And I come up here and I'm just fearful that I'm going to get this awful sickness that's going around. So my gripe is, let's stop the handshaking. Let's go to the elbow bumps, the fist bumps, something that keeps our hands cleaner in these environments where we got a lot of sick people making laws.
There's hand sanitizer on my desk.
Yeah, you got it.
And now, here's one from guest host Senator Todd Weiler from Episode 62, recorded in January.
You know, I'm going to gripe. I was invited to a meeting last month by an organization that is mostly comprised with gas station owners. And I went to this meeting, and they stood up, and they had a bunch of legislators in the room. I don't think Jim was there. And they basically said, we understand all the problems you're facing with transportation funding. We get this, we get this, we get this. And so I thought, oh, great. They're going to say, raise the gas taxes 5 cents, but don't go 10 cents. But basically, they said, we don't care. If you raise gas taxes, that's going to affect our inside sales. People aren't going to run in and get a candy bar if they feel like they're paying too much for gas or whatever. So don't do it. And give us your ideas for other ways to do it. And so I shared with them about five different, me and the other legislators, about five different other alternative proposals that are out there. Every single proposal, they said, well, that's idiotic. Why would you do that? I left that meeting so frustrated because this professional organization said, we understand your pain. We understand your problem. Don't hurt us. And any other ideas you have are totally stupid. I've never been as frustrated as a legislator as I was when I left that meeting.
Okay, and now this is from Senator Jim DeBacchus and guest host Chris Blake on Episode 71 back in March.
Hope you guys are ready. Jim, you've had plenty today.
Okay, I'll have...
He's sitting up in his
do
chair.
Do you mind if I throw another one
Let's
in?
Let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll be really quick. Why is it that the legislature always wants to send messages, take your money back, Washington, to poor people? $30 million, the state board says, we don't want your stinking federal money. That's our state board of education. Healthy Utah, send back the money. And the top of all of this, there was an actual bill that died 2-2 in committee that would have returned $137 million for poor kids' breakfasts and lunches in the state of Utah. It died 2-2. Can you imagine where we're going? Stop sending messages to Washington and start funding education in the state.
And there's my gripe, Natalie.
Let's hear it, Chris.
I'm going to say, I don't think the legislature and the governor and the state of Utah get enough credit for the way they budget and set things up. There was a big rally this week here at the Capitol on education funding. A 4% increase, And fully funding growth is a massive infusion of cash into our schools. They're never going to get the credit for it. And this is the frustration I've always had, even working up here. No matter how much money they throw, it's never enough. And we spend it efficiently, we budget efficiently, and this is a massive infusion, and our legislators and governor deserve major props for making a big funding in our WPU.
And that's partly, I'm guessing, partly why you gave an A- for the session,
because
you feel like the education funding was there. And Jim, you see that differently.
Yeah, yeah. I see it differently. The governor asked for 6.3, we're barely at 4. And even if we got the 6.3, guess where we would be in state ranking for education per child? We would still be a proud 50th. We need to do better and stop patting ourselves on the back on how good we're doing when, you know what? We're not doing that good.
And here's a gripe from episode 78, recorded in April, when former Salt Lake City Councilman J.T. Martin sat in for Natalie between Jim DeBacchus on the left and Chris Blake on the right.
So, Chris, what is your gripe?
My gripe is this. You know, the Democrats, Jim and his crew, have been attacking Republicans for years for being anti-science, denying climate change, and now it's come full circle. The left has forced Chipotle into taking GMO products off the shelf. They're not going to use them. It's the exact same thing. We're denying science. Genetically modified organisms in crops and food are not a problem. Science has confirmed this, and the left has gone nuts and are attacking those that utilize that. And so climate change on the right, GMOs on the left, one happy world.
Jim, I know you're not comfortable with this segment, but try. Do you have a gripe?
I have no gripe. I feel like all I've done is gripe this whole session.
Oh, no.
So I'm just going to smile and say, isn't it great? Spring is here, and wish everybody a completely amazing spring and summer. So I'm going to forego the gripes, but I could recap the gripes I did have.
Oh, well, let me do my gripe, because, you know, who knows when I'll have my next gen. My gripe is that city politics, I believe, is absolutely great. No disrespect to you guys, but city is where it happens. You know, every day you are able to make real decisions about stop signs and where there's water and sidewalks and things that you can make a difference to. And we keep trying to make it a political position that it's a Democrat or a Republican. You know, toilet water doesn't care. And as I see Salt Lake City's election coming up, I keep seeing that, you know, oh, there's the Democrat Mayor Becker, and there's the Democrat Jackie Biskupski. And, you know, I hate seeing that. And sometimes I've even seen council members putting their party affiliation on a sign. I just think it's absolutely inappropriate. And municipal services, I hope, can remain nonpartisan, because that's the best way we get things done.
Here's Jim and Greg earlier in May this year.
So, we got the perfect setting here to go into gripes. You know, the room's hot. We've been kind of going for it on this issue. I don't know. Jim, have you got a gripe that you want to... And don't tell me it's driving in the fast lane.
No, I won't go there. Representative Stewart. You know, the
Congressman Stewart.
The invisible congressman from Salt Lake City finally passed a bill. His bill excludes experts from giving testimony before the Environmental Protection Association, EPA administration. It is just a man without a mission, and it's disgraceful.
Sounds like a gripe to me.
We used to joke that the media, when they'd have these audits, that they would write their stories before there was even a hearing to be held. That's not a joke anymore. Again today, the Tribune, in a race to be first, is letting out their story about an audit prior to the audit hearing ever occurring. This is because the legislature provides an embargoed copy to the media. It was meant to provide context so that reporters would understand the questions being asked and the testimony shared. They're not even darkening the door before they're putting an article out there in the paper, which was never what embargoed copies were meant for.
Greg, you're the Speaker of the House. Make sure they don't get an embargoed copy next time.
It has been duly noted.
Duly noted. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle. We're going to take a short break, but when we return, we'll be playing more gripes from 2015. You're listening to Both Sides of the Aisle, and I'm Natalie Gochner in the Common Sense Middle. Today, we are airing the best gripes from 2015. And now, back to the gripes.
Here's Senator Jim DeBacchus and Natalie, recorded in April, episode 76.
You got a gripe you want to share?
Yes. Utah ranks first in the nation in the amount of water we use per person per day, ahead of Nevada, ahead of Arizona, ahead of a lot of other states, 248 gallons. We need to stop using so much water instead of talking about spending billions to build pipelines, and we need the government to lead the way on doing that.
I love it. You know, my background's in economics, and I'd be the first to tell you that something like water that is a scarce resource, you ought to price it correctly. And in this state, we tend to put too much of our water development in hidden sources. Sales taxes, property taxes, people don't know how much water really costs because what they're paying as a user fee is not the true cost of it. So I could agree with you on that gripe. I'll just add one other little gripe. I just so ready for this community, particularly Salt Lake City, to get its act together in dealing with the homeless population, providing the needed services, providing an environment where business can prosper on the west side of Salt Lake City, the downtown area. And this is something that has to come from the, you know, ecclesiastical community, the business community, and government coming together to solve this problem. I hope we can do it.
In 2015, Medicaid expansion was a big topic up on the Hill, and no one seemed to be more mired in the discussions than both sides of the aisle host and Speaker of the House, Greg Hughes. Here's Greg back in April, episode 74.
BYU did a poll on Healthy Utah versus the House alternative to Medicaid expansion, Utah Cares. Let me give you what the question was. Would you like Healthy Utah, which covers more people for less money, or the House version that covers less people for a whole lot more money? Apparently, 18% of those respondents actually liked Utah Cares under that premise. Well, first, the premise is flat out wrong.
Yeah. Who are that? Who's that 18%?
But I want to say, that's my question. My rant is, did we capture in that yes on that poll to cover less people for more money? Oscar the Grouch, the Grinch, Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, who votes for that under such a terrible, false choice?
That the University of Utah would never have a question like that.
Oh, you know, it was terrible.
I'm just going to yield to Greg for another gripe. I mean, I so enjoyed that one.
Well, okay, Jim, you got it. Here's another gripe from Speaker Hughes, recorded back in May, episode 80.
Greg, you want to share your gripe?
We only got 2 minutes. I could take the whole thing. I've come to find out that the editorial board and the opinion page at the Standard Examiner hates my guts, okay? I don't know if it started back when I was on the UTA board, but somewhere it's gone all wrong. Well, there was a water audit last week, and there were a lot of cameras, a lot of people taking pictures, a lot of stories being written about the water audit. Standard Examiner has an hour view, their editorial board's view of the audit on the water
districts. Fair enough, something they should do.
I'm not quoted in it anywhere. There is just this picture of me and the back of Senate President Wayne Niederhauser's head where I am whispering in his ear, and they got me looking like I'm some mobster. It looks like I'm just whispering a hit on somebody. It is the worst picture in the world, and it has nothing to do with the editorial. It is just a gratuitous attack on me. That's my rant.
And it's my Facebook cover now.
Look at that. I mean, you can't see it, listeners. You cannot see the picture
it
that's
is
on
ugly.
My iPad, but it is comical. It's so bad.
Well, and I would just say it would be fair if you were quoted in the article or had some unique tie to the article. But it sounds like you don't.
I don't. I'm not in it. Other than the description that, you know, there's mobster Greg Hughes in the picture.
And you can see a photo of mobster Greg Hughes taken by the Standard Examiner on the webpage for this show. And finally for this segment, here's guest host Democratic Representative Brian King with Speaker Hughes, recorded last July, episode 90.
No, here's my gripe. And it goes back to this Medicaid expansion thing. We have been talking this thing to death. Can't we please move on? I've got the speaker right here. I'm reaching out. He won't grab his hand.
Don't touch
me.
I don't know where your hands have been.
He's wearing cufflinks.
I'm trying to grab his hand. He won't grab my hand. I'm just saying, let's get this result. There are people out there who need it. Please, I'm asking you, Mr. Speaker, not just as your friend, but as your colleague here on the air. Let's get to the bottom.
Now you've baited me. Now you've changed my whole
We've
rant.
Put the show into the
now my rant. Now this
let's
is now,
get
now
it
I got a hold of
the
rant.
Let's help people.
Okay, really quick, my rant now because it's been born from your rant. Thank you. There is a narrative that's growing out there that I don't like about this whole Medicaid expansion debate. That it is that those that don't support expanding Medicaid yesterday are ignorant to the plight of others, callous to the condition and doing nothing. I will tell you that in my own personal experiences, I am absolutely aware of the challenges with healthcare and having healthcare. There isn't any callousness. We've met exhaustively with people to get a stronger perspective, and it's all I'm working on. It has taken, on the slowest day, it's 80% of my bandwidth on this issue. It's all I do. So for the narrative that people want to paint people into a corner with, it's just flat out false.
Okay, here's another one from May this past year, episode 81, with guest host Chris Blake, along with Jim DeBacchus.
Let's go for you, Chris Blake.
I, despite the fact that it's summer and I really am not in the mood to gripe, I am going to agree with Representative Rob Bishop on the BLM sage-grouse plan, which I find absolutely offensive. They don't understand the state of Utah. They're sitting back in Washington, D.C., and coming up with plans that make no sense for the state of Utah, are totally disregarding our opinions, what we need to do, what's best for our state, and it drives me nuts. And so kudos to Rob Bishop. Keep up the fight.
Love it.
You know, it's the ideologues that kill me the most in the state, and we seem to have picked, as a superintendent of state education, a real ideologue. New report out, Utah ranks, no surprise, 51st. We're spending $6,555. The average is $10,000. And then, if that isn't bad enough, our new defender of the children and spending money says, speaking to the Utah Taxpayers Association, quote, "There is no virtue in rising higher on that list, and there's no particular vice on it, on being low on it." Give me a break. Superintendent, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give you $75,000 and $750,000 and say, go buy a house. And you come back and tell me, you know, money doesn't really matter. Give me a break. Money matters. And until the state wakes up and realizes that and makes the real serious commitment to our kids, we are going to not prosper.
And moving along, here's another combination of gripes between Jim DeBacchus and Greg Hughes this past year over the issue of political diversity.
Here's the deal. I love the experience. I'm just going to say that before I say any more and complain. I met incredible people from around the country, had great discussions. I learned a lot of things.
What was the program?
It's called the Young American Leadership Program, and okay. It's bringing. They decided that they don't think the changes necessary are going to happen in Washington, that they have to happen on the grassroots level in metropolitan areas around this country, and it's a great effort. Here's the problem. There was an incredible amount of discussion about diversity. Diversity of culture, diversity of culture within your economy, and how these are so critical to a community's success. The problem with Harvard Business School is there is absolutely no diversity of thought. Every single professor, if they had any political experience at all, were within Democrat administrations. And it was it begged the question when we talk about, are there women involved in these raises within this corporation? Is your community, do you embrace the cultural diversity of your community? Where are the Republicans at Harvard Business School? Is that just a swear word? Is being reasonable and smart economically mean that you just got to get rid of all the Republicans? Now, Jim, don't answer that. I know what your answer is. But in an institution,
I feel your pain, Greg,
that talks about diversity, to think that you don't have a single Republican as a professor, at least in our program for a week, I felt it was a little bit weighted, tilted to
and
one side.
And that's in the business school. Imagine if you were in some of the other departments.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to change my thought as a result of that. I wish that Greg and the governor would take that diversity of thought into our state boards and commissions, where there are no Democrats anymore. They have lost the pretense of the constitutional requirement to put Democrats. Bring the diversity home, is what I say.
All right. I had a whole bunch of things to say, but since I've been on this European trade mission, I just want to share a little Utah thought. And this isn't a gripe. This is a good thing. But I was really pleased to see the relevance of Utah overseas. I paid a visit to the European Commission with Governor Herbert. European Commission in Brussels has 40,000 employees, just to give you a feel for, you know, how big. This is the group that holds the European Union together. And they were so excited to talk to Governor Herbert because he's the incoming chair of the National Governors Association, and they want this trade deal done. And they loved Senator Hatch. And I met a fighter pilot at the Paris Air Show. He was from Brigham City.
Wow.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Best of the Gripes show of 2015 from both sides of the aisle. Here's Senator Jim DeBacchus back in June, episode 86.
Jim.
I'll be brief with all the swirling politics around me. I went into Barber Coe yesterday in Sugar House. I got there about the same time as a very nice woman, and I said, here, you go ahead of me. And she smiled and said, great. Then she ordered 23 tacos for her whole damn office while I stood there waiting, and they had everybody going and putting special guacamole and everything else. Give me a break.
It worked. I sent her there. I can't believe my timing.
Here again is Senator Jim DeBacchus.
There's a lot to gripe about. I've got a list that's about five deep. I'm trying to think which one to do. Jim, what do you want to highlight?
I'll be quick. Last week we talked about the fact that in our state capitol, there is a posh lobbyist room that's been kind of quiet down there. And they tried to throw the American Legion out because they wanted to expand. So last week I did a little research. At least somebody on my staff did. Our lobbyists are paying $21.64 a square foot for that place, which has to be the most ideal office space in the planet for Utah lobbyists in the Utah Capitol. In comparison, the offices in Wells Fargo and Building 222, which are two of the best downtown, $34 to $36 a square foot. So the state is not only giving corporate lobbyists space in the Capitol, they're giving them at a cut rate. And that, my friends, is disgusting. They shouldn't be there at all, but if they are, they ought to be paying the highest kind of rates, not a special rate for lobbyists in the Capitol.
This fall, we were pleased to welcome Representative Dan McKay as the show's new regular host on the right. Here's Dan in November, episode 105.
I think my gripe is that it snowed this week. and I know that's
it barely did, but it did.
I'm a little bit, but it's up in the hills. There's probably more snow, but in the valley we saw a few flakes. As we were walking around this week.
You not a skier, Dan?
I like to ski.
You're a golfer.
I like to ski, but I'm a golfer, and a white ball and a white snowfield does not match.
I see flakes year round at the legislature, so I don't know why you're.
So if you listen to this show regularly, you know the gripes are not always about bad things. Here was Jim in early October, episode 102.
But let's go to gripes, Jim.
Okay, my gripe, I'll be quick. Yesterday, I went over to the Bryant Middle School. It's a few blocks from here. It's an inner city school. They have Title I, 23 languages, and the entire Utah Symphony was crowded in this little
Don't
stage.
Don't you love it?
And I watched these kids pile in, and they started playing. And my brain went a little crazy, and I remembered 50 years ago when I went into the Symphony Hall, and I remembered like it was that moment, and I remembered Peter and the Wolf, and I remembered the oboe, and I looked at the faces of the kids, and I couldn't control myself.
I love it.
And this kid looked over at me, who's sitting next to me, and he's 10 or 11 or 12, and he says, Senator, are you all right? My gosh, we've got to get arts back into our school. We have to. This is our soul, and we've lost it.
Well, and I will say that I think it's beautiful that our symphony will play in all these schools. That's part of a gift our state gives to these kids. Dan, you have a gripe for us?
Boy, after that...
session on Medicaid expansion.
Well, the session on Medicaid expansion is, aside the fact, I think Jim brings up an interesting point. My gripe is much more petty.
It's okay.
The bike lanes in my neighborhood are just far too thin. I feel like there's a comfort cruise when I come downtown Salt Lake on my bike, but then when I get out in the suburbs, I'm squeezing between the tractor trailers. So I'd like a little
wider
more space
bike
there.
Lanes. No wonder he likes Mayor Becker.
Talk to Hughes about that.
No, what I would say is just be more aware of the bikers.
I got you.
Look,
wonderful.
The bike lanes are thin. Just be aware of us.
Just be aware of us.
Well, we're close to winding down the program, but here's just a few more. Natalie had this gripe from just a few weeks ago.
Well, I'm going to gripe about people who steal. So my husband's car, someone went through it, in the last week. This week, someone stole a snow shovel out of our yard. What's up with people that walk around neighborhoods after dark and find anything that's loose and takes it?
I couldn't find my shovel. I'll bring it back.
And finally, we chose this gripe from one of our guest hosts this year, former chair of the Republican Party, Thomas Wright, from episode 92.
Thomas, your gripe.
Well, I got home from my vacation with my family and had my vote by mail ballot in my mailbox, which was great, and filled it out and sent it in. But my gripe is low voter turnout in Utah. We have done everything. We have done voter registration drives. We're now doing vote by mail. We're doing everything in the state. People have got to fill their ballots out. You got to vote. And my gripe is, why is Utah at the bottom of voter participation?
Yeah, time
we're
to
never
vote.
Gonna maximize our potential doing that. We've got to encourage everybody and everybody that we know to get out and vote.
To engage.
So, yeah, my gripe is low voter participation in our state.
And there you have it. The elections of 2016 are less than a year away. So get out and vote, people, and keep listening to both sides of the aisle. But also make sure your legislators are hearing your own voice more next year and let them know some of your own gripes. This is your producer, Ross Chambliss. And with that, I'm handing this mic back to Natalie Gochner.
Well, that does it for our Best of 2015 Gripes edition on Both Sides of the Aisle. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted. But don't worry, we'll be back in 2016 with the regular program. The show today was produced by Ross Chambliss. Thanks for listening.